Hello and good morning, afternoon, and evening, depending upon your time zones. I am Mohammed Shabbir, the coordinator of the Dynamic Coalition on Accessibility and Disability. And I welcome you all in this session of and the first meeting of DCAD in 2025. In this session, we will be discussing the IGF proposals, the modalities, do's and don'ts. And to discuss all of these things and how to put in a good proposal, which should be accepted by the MEG, and how MEG accepts the proposals, I have with me a very good panel who would be discussing different sides of the workshop proposals, the IGF model, the multi-stakeholder thing, and also the modalities that if you are interested in putting up a good proposal to advance digital accessibility for persons with disabilities, what are the things you should be taking care of? So I have people from Secretariat. Thank you very much, Anya and Celine. I also have people from the MEG. Thank you very much, Gunilla and Lido, for joining us on this call today. Without any further ado, I would hand over the mic to the Secretariat first to talk about the IGF, its modalities, and how proposals should be prepared. So, Anya, over to you. Will you be speaking, or Celine will be talking about the presentation? How
Thank
you
you
want to?
very much, Mohammed. Yes, Celine coordinates this part of the work, so I think the best is that Celine speaks.
Thank you very much, Anya, and thank you very much, Mohammed. Thank you for the invitation and also the initiative to hold such a session, which we think is very important, especially in preparing and guiding session submissions. So perhaps just to give you some key facts about the IGF session proposal process, but also leading up to the IGF, I'll give you a few key deadlines. So starting with the call for session proposal, as well as the call for IGF booths and also for remote hubs, these all are, first of all, accessible via our website and then also open until the 12th of March. So from now on, we still have, I would say, a little bit more than 2 weeks' time. Afterwards, the multi-stakeholder advisory group, and again, we have two members here part of the call today, and they will provide also more information to that, will select and evaluate the proposals of workshops received so far. And Lito will go a little bit more into details on how they are processing these workshops, but also to let you know that around 80 sessions from day one, so the 24th of June to the 27th, day four, we'll be able to allocate around 80 session slots. These are workshop proposals, but also, for example, open forums and other kinds of session types. So this is to give you a little bit more of a background and also of an overview. And once the MAG has selected and agreed on a list of workshop proposals, they will be officially selected at the second open consultation and MAG meeting, which will take place from the 14th to the 16th of April in Geneva and online. I'll also share here in the chat not only the link to the various session proposal submission platforms, but also the link to this registration platform for the second open consultation and MAG meeting, because you can actually take part in the conversation on the open consultation day on the 14th of June, of April, apologies, and then also be part of the selection process as observer on the 15th and 16th of April. Long story cut short, would welcome, of course, your active participation there. And then shortly after that open consultation and MAG meeting, I would say no later than a week, We will inform all the workshop proposers about either the acceptance or rejection of their proposal for the IGF 2025 program. So I'll hand over now to the next speaker. I believe it is Lito, who will provide you far more details about, in general, the process for session submissions. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much, Celine, for this very brief but useful information. Before I hand over the mic to Lito, I would request the participants, if you have any question, you can put in the chat. Or after Lito and Ganela have spoken, we would have a discussion session. So now I would hand over the mic to Lito. He will be talking about the main things of the proposal, giving us the insights from based on his experience with the MAG, as well as also talk about the common pitfalls which should be avoided while submitting a proposal. Lito, floor is yours.
Thank you, Mohamed, and hello, everyone. Good morning, good evening. So, yes, thank you for attending this session. We are trying as MAG members, as MAG and the Secretariat, we are trying to get better proposals, the best we can get, so we can structure an IGF worth of this year. What I mean by this year, as many of you know, we have several characteristics for this year. In the first place, there's the 20th anniversary of the World Summit of Information Society, which took place in 2003 and 2005. So we are celebrating the 20 years after 2005 in Tunisia. That we as the world, as humanity, celebrated this summit. One of the outcomes of the summit was the IGF, the Internet Governance Forum. So this year there will be a discussion on United Nations about to continue or not, or to modify this forum, the Internet Governance Forum. And also, during this year, I mean last year, but coming to this year, we had this the approval of the Global Digital Compact by many nations in the United Nations Forum. So that's another important issue for this year, because we have this plan, this compact that we all are trying or looking forward to implement it. So those are important topics this year, because they are the framework in which we are going to, the proponents will going to present, and we, the MAG, are going to evaluate, and finally, eventually, they will come up to the IGF in Norway. So that's another issue. No, the IGF this year is very soon in the year, well, relatively soon in the year, in June, in Norway. So that imposes a certain speed, certain need for to hurry and to prepare this the proposals in a timely fashion. We have to, the proponents and we, the MAG, have to work hard in different periods of the year in order to evaluate and to decide or select the proposal that will make up the IGF program. So regarding evaluation, we have, as MAG, we have our process, we have the stages that we go through once we receive the proposals. The first one is done by the Secretariat. They review the proposals and they take out, if you will, the ones that do not comply with the very, very least requirements, which are mainly diversity in the gender of the speakers. There are some rules there, and also the quantity of speakers that need to be on site in Norway. There are, in that sense, we have the requirement of three speakers that need to be on site, including the moderator. But we also recommend to have an online moderator who can be on site or not, but those are part of the requirements. Also, we want attending diversity. We expect to have at least two members of the panel of the speakers from this different gender of the rest of the speakers. Regarding the total amount of speakers, they can be around five or more, but not so many as to take up the whole time of the session, because as you know, we encourage the participation of the audience, both on site and online. So we do take very seriously those the proposals and those aspects of the proposals. Then when we go after this first screening by the secretariat, the proposals, the remaining proposals, which used to be and probably will be many, many, will go to the MAG members, and we will do our individual evaluation. I don't know, Celine, if we can share the criteria document so we can share with the audience. But when we receive these proposals, okay, Celine will share the link. We, as individuals, on the first stage, we'll go personally, individually, through a set of proposals. The number, final number is still to be determined, according to the amount of proposals we receive. But we use several criteria. For instance, we evaluate the proposed topic, and we assign 20% of the evaluation to that. That means that the topic, of course, should be aligned with one of the four sub-themes that we have established for this year. There's the links in the chat. And as I said, we evaluate the proposed topic. This, within the definition of the sub topics for this year, you can find some examples or some references to the kind of topics you can include in each one of the four sub-theme or sub-topics. So that is one of the criteria, the proposed topic. How aligned is your topic to the one of the sub-themes, the one or several, but in order to be focused, I would recommend to aim for one of the sub-topics that that we have defined in the first open consultation. Another criteria is the workshop content. So that means, how are you structuring your workshop? What is the of course, who are the speakers, but what are you trying to get out of the workshop? So in that sense, an aspect that is well evaluated by the MAG is the alternative opinions. What we mean is that we want to create some discussion among the panelists and among the audience later on. So it would be very much appreciated if we have different points of view from the panelists, not not necessarily opposite, but different point of view on the subject. So that is another criteria, the content. The third criteria, we evaluate the policy questions. In the workshop proposal form, there's an area, a section where you include the policy questions. What do you try to answer regarding policy with this proposal, with this workshop? That's another thing we evaluate. The fourth is engagement and hybrid strategy, meaning how are you planning to engage your audience both online and on-site? That's part of the dynamics. And finally, the fifth criteria is diversity. How are you fulfilling the diversity criteria in the most ample sense? That means you have people from different regions, different gender, different backgrounds, different stakeholders, and so on. So, of course, we provide a weight for each one of these criteria, and the workshop content is the largest with 30%, followed by proposed topic with 20, and diversity 20. The other two are 15% each. So that is how we try to evaluate the proposals, looking at those areas. Also, if you include something about the GDC, as I said, something related to that, you make up a relationship with the objectives of the GDC, or something to reinforce the WISIS plus 20 anniversary, meaning that you become creative, you become innovative in what you are saying in the workshop. That would be much appreciated by the MAC. Let me see. I think those are the main things, the main tips, if you will, that you have to take care of when drafting and submitting a proposal. These are all included in the workshop proposal form, of course, and there will be some. There are more data in the workshop proposal form. For instance, if you are related to an intersectional work of the IGF, for instance, a dynamic coalition, you may say you are part of the dynamic coalition, this one or otherwise, or best practice forum, or whatever intersectional, an NRI or another intersectional work. That is not really taken into account when evaluating, but it's a good thing in order to create synergies among the work. I think that's main part for me. I will stop here and wait for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lido, for this very insightful discussion and intervention. You highlighted the basic criteria for the workshop proposals and how MAG evaluates what's the process. So I think the participants are now better appreciative of the whole process. And of course, the MAG meeting between 14th and 16th of April is open, and people can join as observers to see how the MAG is running all the process. So we have discussed what are the basic modalities of the proposals. Coming to the main crux of our discussion is that how do we present a strong accessibility-focused proposal, and how do we incorporate the strong voices of persons with disabilities in IGF discussions? To speak on the topic and to make a small intervention before we go to the question answer session. We have Gunilla Spring, the MAG member, a longtime accessibility advocate. So, Gunilla, what are your thoughts? What do you?
Thank you very much, Shabir. Yes, following on from Leto, who's provided such an excellent overview of the whole process, I will just go into some particular details that might assist in workshop proposals that relate to digital accessibility. So, there are four sub-themes, as Leto mentioned, and I'll just, if you go to the website, if you haven't already, you will see that the sub-themes include digital trust and resilience, sustainable and responsible innovation, digital cooperation, and also universal access and digital rights. Now, often in the disability sphere, you would say, oh, right, universal access and digital rights. That's where I would put in a proposal about accessibility and barriers, solutions, and so forth. But let's look at it a little bit more broadly and think, okay, there might be people on this call and later on who might listen to the recording or read the transcript who have a particular passion or concern in an area like AI, cybersecurity, misinformation, disinformation, which is all mentioned under the sub-themes, as Leto mentioned. So I just wanted to highlight some, but there are a lot of other particular subtopics that a proposer might have some particular expertise in or some concerns in. And rather than having a general accessibility session, focus instead on a particular subtopic in some of the other areas. Not to say that do not use the universal access and digital rights sub-theme, but just to say, look a little bit more broadly if there are particular areas you want to cover. And also, it's a matter of coming from a lived experience of disability or disability advocacy and making it clear in a proposal that you wish to cover some of these particular areas, if it's general accessibility or particular subtopics under some of the other sub-themes. And then, of course, as Lisa's already mentioned, you need to be very clear about gender diversity, geographic region, and the number of speakers, and so they are all a starting point. Obviously, writing a good, clear, and fairly concise explanation of the topic of a workshop proposal, and also anything that relates to your topic under those sub-themes and subtopics. Going from lived experience or as a disability advocate to policy. So you're connecting there. That's important. And there is a need to put in particular policy questions. So that helps your thinking to frame the workshop proposal in a way. And obviously, when it comes to policy, think about global policy instruments, rights-based For example, the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disability. There's references to the Sustainable Development Goals. And as Lito mentioned, there is the work being done now with the 20th anniversary of WISIS and also about the Global Digital Compact. So they are all things to consider in a proposal. As options, these are just options. And I need to emphasize really strongly that read the FAQs, read about the evaluation criteria, and the Celine has put in a link to the workshop submission manual where you get more information because you don't want to spend time putting in a proposal and then afterwards the selection process says no, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. You have the possibility of making it a good proposal if you are well informed about those selection criteria that Lito mentioned and a lot of other information that's in the submission manual. So they are probably some of my main points, bearing in mind that this year there will probably be slightly less sessions, and so the selection process will be quite tight. So the MAG members will be looking at really, really insightful workshop proposals. And as Lito mentioned, to have a diversity of viewpoints on the topic. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you are at loggerheads, but in some cases that could create a very interesting discussion. And again, engaging the people in the audience, on site and online, and having particular strategies in mind to do that is really important. So, I encourage you to look more broadly than civil society speakers. Look at if you can connect with somebody from the private sector, from a technical community, academia, and government. So you make it very broad, and then you get some interesting perspectives. I would also encourage people putting in proposals to start organizing and thinking about what to write and inviting speakers as soon as possible because both speakers need to be registered on the IGF website and sometimes they need to set up a profile. All of that takes a little bit more time. So the earlier you start, the more time you have towards the deadline to round it all off. I think that's probably covering most of my points. One more point, finally, is that there's a register of resource persons. And if you don't have particular people in mind as a diverse panel, maybe you don't know anyone in the private sector that could speak about this, then that could be a place to go to as well. So there's two hands up. I think I'll stop there, and hopefully that's been useful. Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks a lot, Gunella, as Judith Hellestine. My question to you and Celine and maybe Lito is, could you talk about the concept this year of the extra points or additional points you can get towards the evaluation when you're partnering with one of the intersessional groups? And how does that work? And maybe Celine, you could talk about that.
Of course. Lito, I would give the floor to you because I think you have a little bit more insight also to that. Mm-hmm.
Yes, thank you, Celine, and thank you, Judith, for the question. As I mentioned, there's a section in the proposal form that we ask, in where we ask about the relationship of your proposal to any intersectional work. We have changed that a little bit this year in order to have only one intersection, if any. It's not an obligation, it's not something that has to be complied with. Proposals may come from different groups and not tied up with any intersectional work, but if the proposal and the organizers of the workshop are related somehow, maybe they are part of or they work with some of the intersectional works of the IGF, that is good to know. However, as I said, and I repeat here, it's not necessarily, there is not a section per se in the criteria that provide extra points for if you are related to intersectional work. However, it is good to know, it is good to, we're trying to get more close ties with this type of intersectional work, and the persons in the dynamic coalitions and the best practices and the policy networks and so on, and national regional IGF, they are trying to work together so we can have this type of work together. That is the reason we are trying to include, or we are including that question in the form, but not necessarily MAC members. Some of them may take in their minds this into account, but it's not necessary an instruction for the whole all of the MAC members. So I have to say it's not explicitly included in the evaluation, but it's good to have information. We're trying to process that later on and reach and know about these relationships. So that is the
okay.
Answer. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lito. And before I hand over the mic to Celine, I would want to thank you, Celine, for sharing the links in the chat. I'm sure those will be very useful for the participants. Over to you, Celine.
Thank you very much, Mohammed. And of course, we can also gladly summarize all these links and send them in an email so that we have it also saved in our inbox. Perhaps just to also reiterate a little bit what Lito said. When it comes to the link between the session submitter and also the IGF intersessional work, it is really just for our own statistics, for our own information, and it will not be better or graded worse depending on, you know, whether you have some sort of link to IGF intersessional work. And that leads actually to my second point that also Lito mentioned. We're actually welcoming a lot new speakers, new organizers, new participants. So this is also where, for example, as a session organizer, you can also get, let's say, a lot of points if you do suggest speakers that have, for example, never participated in the IGF before. That is just something that that I wanted to mention. And also, thank you, Gunella, for mentioning the link to the IGF resource persons. So visit this link that we shared in the chat. It's the latest right now. But also, you can always reach out to us, to the secretariat, because perhaps we may be aware of some on-site participants or in general, some potential speakers who express their interest in participating in the IGF that could perhaps very well fit in a session proposal of yours. So explore the IGF resource persons link, but also do not hesitate to reach out to the IGF secretariat. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Celine. And do we have any other question from the participants before I open my list of questions? Anyone? Judith, do we have any raised hands? You can raise hand or you can start speaking.
Yes,
Mohammed
Mohammed Lalfi.
Lutfi.
Yes.
Yes, hello everyone. Good morning here. It's 7:30 a.m. in Washington, D.C. and in New York, sorry. So can you just remind us, I missed that, I maybe the deadline to submit the proposal.
Looks like.
What's the deadline?
Yes, of course, Mohammed. Thank you so much. The deadline is the 12th of March.
12 of March. All right. Okay. That's it. That's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Yes, any other questions? Okay, meanwhile, people think about the question. I would open my list. And so Lido mentioned in his remarks a point where initial screening is done by the secretariat. So that would, I think, fall into some of the common pitfalls which a proposal should avoid, I would say. Because I would not, if I spent a lot of time in submitting a proposal, at least I would want that proposal to be evaluated by the MAG. And as Celine said, it's not about the good or bad proposal, but of course, if it is rejected in the initial stage by the secretariat screening, that I would consider a very bad proposal. So, Celine or Anya, if you can, based on your experience of years of evaluating these proposals, what are common mistakes that the people do, which we should avoid?
Thank you very much, Mohammed, for that question. So I think actually that that question would be very relevant also for Lito and Gunella, because what we're doing, the secretariat, is we're doing an initial screening, but just of proposals, for example, that have been submitted twice by mistake or spams, or for example, also session submissions with only male panelists. So these kind of like hard criteria that should be respected before going to the for the evaluation to the MAG. Perhaps Lito, you would like to add few tips and tricks of proposals that did not make it through over the past years?
Yes, thank you. After the initial screening, which is, I was thinking when Mohammed asked the question, I was thinking that it's a pity that some proposals may get discarded, if you will, at the first stage, the first screening made by the secretariat. So I encourage you to read and reread the minimum requirements, because if you don't comply with those, I mentioned some of those, but you can read. It's only three or two or three. We asked that's related to the diversity thing, two persons from a different gender than the rest, and so on. So there are a few stop requirements that we don't go, I mean, the whole team, secretariat and MAG, we don't go any further. So that would be a pity that we don't get to read any of the anything of the proposal because of that hard stop criteria. So please read them. They are very at the very top of the form, so you can comply with those. After that, when the proposal goes to the MAG, of course, we try to evaluate from our personal and somehow subjective perspective how much the topic is aligned with the sub-themes for this year. We always try to make them, if you will, exclusive. I mean, and not to cross them, but of course, topics are always related. So you can select the sub-theme, sub-topic, which aligns better, the best, with your topic. As I said, in the definition of the sub-themes, we tried to include some referential topics or titles, not titles, but aspects that you may include or you may aim for in your workshop proposal. The more defined this is, the more if the alignment with the sub-themes is very clear, there will be no problem, because we will see, okay, these are this proposal is complying with the subtopic 3, for instance, or whatever, and we see that relation very clearly. Also, as I said before, the other criteria is important that you review them and look at the definitions of the criteria, because that is what the MAG is looking at. Of course, the evaluation is personal first and then by groups, because we get together online and then on site by groups to exchange our personal opinions, our notes. Each member may make notes about a proposal and say, for instance, this proposal is not very rich in diversity, regional diversity, for instance, but it's very rich in the approach, and very innovative in the approach they're making to the topic. So those notes made personally by my members are very good, because when we get to the discussion, the part of the process where some MAG members may say, I support this proposal, and another MAG member will say, no, I don't see the value in this proposal. So we discuss and we argue, but if there are some tips, some notes that highlight the value of the proposal, that is very clear in the proposal, and the MAG member read about it and took a note, that will gain some points and may gain the discussions at the end. Of course, it's a reality that we have a finite number of sessions that we have to select after discussing and looking at the merits of each of the proposal. But in the end, of course, there will be some that sadly we have to be declined this year. But as I say, if you enforce and make it clear in the proposal the topics or the aspects we have discussed in this session, the more clear, the more easy the MAG member that is reading the proposal will look into that and make a note for the discussion. Oh, and also evaluate highly in their evaluation form.
Yes, thank you very much, Tito and Celine. Before I give the mic to Ganella for her comments, I would also want to add a question for her. Ganella, you have a long history of advocating for accessibility. So while you add to what Celine and Lito has said, if you want to add to, my question to you would be, can you share a few ideas, what proposals under which sub-theme could be submitted? And of course, what are the issues that, based on your experience of serving at MAG, would be useful? And while Ganella speaks, I would urge the participants, think about the proposal, and even if you want to discuss a topic, we can discuss that given the brief time that we have left. Ganella, over to you.
Ganella, you are muted.
Now I think we can hear. Yes.
Loud and clear.
Good, good. Thank you, Shavir. Okay. So when it comes to particular sub-themes to put in a proposal, I mentioned before the four sub-themes, and about trying to mainstream disability into something like sustainable and responsible innovation. So we know that the disability sector can be very innovative in regards to building new tools, new ways of interacting online, and some of those, I think, could be worth considering in regard to how the intersection with innovative technology, being responsible technology, can be something that really fits within the disability area. That's just one idea. I'm not here to really give ideas. That's for everyone else to come up with their own ideas. But it's a mainstreaming of technology, AI, cybersecurity, privacy issues, and many people with disabilities feel very vulnerable online and in real life too. And how does privacy and the lack of it in many cases, how does that relate to disability and digital rights? So there's many different ways to approach workshop proposal in the disability sphere that isn't just here is a panel of persons with disability or disability advocates talking about accessibility and the barriers and potential solutions. If we can look at it a little bit more broadly, I think would be good. So there's some of my tips, but I also wanted to follow on from Lito when it comes to the MAG assessing proposals. It's the part that's maybe easier after the Secretariat has done the first cut is the excellent proposals that really stand out, and they've followed the evaluation criteria. They've written something that's relevant and maybe a little bit different, and have the diversity parts, and obviously gender and geography and so on. But those different stakeholders, who is going to speak and what are their perspectives, and something where the evaluators feel, oh, this could be really an insightful debate and discussion. So those ones are probably the easier ones to evaluate, as would be the ones that really are not very good. It's the ones in the middle where you sort of think, right, if there could be a few good points there, there could be, it covers off most of the evaluation criteria, but it's okay, but is it going to make the final cut? So that's where notes are really, really useful. If they get across the line, to debate, I suppose, with fellow MAG members when we get to that stage. So that's some of my comments. Thank you.
Thank you very much, all of you, Celine, Lito, and Gunella. Any questions or comments? Yes, Mohammad Lutfi.
Yes. Have you received any proposals where organizations of persons with disabilities have been involved in as either a partner or panelists? And how would that count in terms of like what's the weight of this factor in evaluating the proposal?
Okay. Shall I answer that?
Yes, Gunilla, you can, sure.
Okay. And Celine, I'll be very happy to hear your comments too. Each year there are certainly a number of proposals relating to disability, and they really are evaluated in the general sense that Lita and I have already spoken about when it comes to the percentages of each of the sections that we evaluate against. And so certainly as a diversity criteria, it's obviously important as much as possible to have persons with disability in general proposals and persons with disability, but it's not necessarily evaluated any differently to those percentages that we talked about. Certainly with the diversity factor, that is one criteria of those others that we talked about: the gender, geographical region, the stakeholder groups, and so on, and age and disability and so forth. They come in there as another one too. So I hope that answers your question.
Thank you, Gunilla.
Excuse me. May I just follow up? I'm not asking about persons. I'm asking about organizations of persons with disability. Like, not necessarily, I mean, we understand that disability now is a major or a important factor or criterion in anything as, in terms of diversity-wise. I'm talking about organizations of persons with disability.
Thank you, Mohammed. Perhaps DCAT can actually give a little bit more insights regarding organizations participating at the INGF. We receive always over 500 session proposals, and very often either the topics received are specifically about the topic of disabilities, or it is about a completely different topic, but persons with disabilities are participating. So I think it is a little bit hard for us to assess or to give exact names of organizations with disabilities. But there, Judith, perhaps you have some more insights.
Sure.
And connections. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's Judith Ellison for the record. Sometimes we do have new organization. Last year, which was only a few months ago, one of our fellows, the organization that she was part of had took out a booth. And so therefore that, and those times you can see organizations of who are for persons with disability who are coming and taking out booths. But otherwise there's not, otherwise there's not really groups that take out organization groups. And I think it's more is that we would like to do more outreach outside of the ICT community or the technology community. And we want to get to get involvement from people who are not part of the same sector. And that's always been an issue, even with the IGF and even with attracting other groups to come, is how do we get the information about internet governance, about the IGF, to groups that that do not already know about us. And so that's where we rely on either our fellow, DCAT fellows or other people to try to get as many people as possible to come and apply for sessions or join the IGF. But that's always a tricky thing to do. And all it's not only the global IGF that has this issue, but it's also the national regional IGFs that have the same issue. So it's a, so that's one of the reasons why we decided to do this session, is to try to get more involvement and get spread the word about IGF to a larger community. So
yes. Yes, thank you, Judith, for this insight, Celine and Ganella too. Just a quick comment on that. To answer your question, Dr. Lutfi, yes, disability rights organizations would be considered, but as an organization, perhaps since we have the benefit of having two MAG members who would be playing a crucial role in the new structure, whatever is formed of the coming IGFS in the coming years, diversity is not just gender and region. Disability is a complete culture, and perhaps this ought to be considered when the sub-check marks are being developed within the diversity criteria. And the key component of that should be under diversity for people with disabilities, one, the lived experience, and two, the organization who are of persons with disabilities. So this could be one of the future criteria, and I think the new structures can consider that. A quick question from the Secretariat or MAG, if they can respond. And I would, before I do that, I would want to ask the captioners, if we go about 5 minutes above the time, would that be okay? Because I am already close to the time. Captioners?
Oh, Lito can stay.
Yep. Is it okay for the captioners?
Yeah, she says it's fine.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. So the question is, my question is about the accessibility of the workshop proposal. And this is not just for us who are attending this call, but who may be listening this recording and reading the transcript. If someone finds the form difficult to fill in, would the Secretariat or the MAG consider assisting particularly people with disabilities, for instance, people with cognitive disabilities, sharing the word copy of the form, or providing any other way of submitting a workshop proposal through, instead of using the conventional way of submitting the form? I hope I made my question clear.
Thank you very much,
and
Mohammed.
This is very open clear to Secretariat and MAG members as well. Yes.
Thank you, Mohammed. I'm going to reply just because I have to leave, unfortunately, in a minute time. I have to start another one, but definitely. So in case some members are facing difficulties in submitting the proposal, they can definitely send to us the Word version via email. I will share here our email address. The only thing is it needs to indeed be submitted on time, so before the 12th of March. And okay, perfect. Thank you. Anya is staying a little bit longer in the meeting. And we can then fill out all the fields on your behalf. And we'll also assign the person who submitted it the editorial rights on our webpage in case in future there are some changes that need to be done. But also there, of course, the Secretariat can assist. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Celine, for this. And thank you very much for staying and giving the input. Thank you very much, Lido, as well. Thank you, Anya, for staying until the end of the call. Any last-minute questions or comments from the participants before we start wrapping up?
Dr. Mohammed, can I ask something very quick?
Sure, Mohammed.
Sorry, very quick. Is there any applicants expect that there would be some financial support from IGF organizers for any proposal, for any workshop or proposal?
So I think I can answer this question, and meanwhile, I can flag our activity as well. IGF financial support call was there, but the deadline, unfortunately, for that has gone. It was 17th of February, but if there is any change, I would invite Anya to comment on that. But there is certainly a call going to come up by the Dynamic Coalition on Accessibility and Disability. And certainly, if someone has a proposal submitted, they would be considered or rated high when the Fellowship Selection Committee of the Dynamic Coalition on Accessibility and Disability evaluating its applications. So keep an eye for the Dynamic Coalition call for the support. I know we cannot send a lot of persons for financial support, but certainly we do have small grants that we can provide.
Also, Mohammed, while the close for travel support has closed, I believe the call for journalists from the Global South is still open, and perhaps Anya could say a few words about that in case you know journalists.
Yes, thank you very much, both Mohammed and Judith. I confirm what Mohammed said. Indeed, we had to close the call earlier in this year, very exceptionally, because of the exceptional position of the annual meeting on the overall timeline. So 17th of February indeed was the deadline. But the call for the journalists is open, and I invite you to visit the IGF website and consider applying. Let me just check. I think it's until March, but yes, 7th of March, exactly. 7th of March. If there will be any changes with respect to the IGF's call for general travel support, we will let you know. For now, we have a limited budget, limited time, and there are no plans for now to reopen the call or extend the deadline.
Thank you very much, Anya, for this comment. And I would give the floor now to Judith to do both summary and the wrap-up comments. I bid you farewell. Thank you. Judith, over to you.
Thanks so much, Dr. Shabir, for this. And thanks to all people who come, and some of our new people. DCAD. And we talked on the call, thanks to our MAG members for giving us some great tips on how to improve our session proposals. As they said, we are having a lot fewer sessions this time. And so it's going to be very different. It's a lot more difficult to get proposals selected because there are fewer proposals out there. So I think we have hopefully we'll provide you some great ideas and great topics. And also to when you're selecting your proposals, not only look at, you know, gender diversity where people live, but also try to get a good mixture and the diverse opinions as well. And I think then you'll have a lot better chance in getting your proposal in this short time. But also, if you want to also, they are also doing lightning talks, which will be, you know, 10, 15 minutes. And that if you have a specific topic that you thought and you can't find a lot of speakers for it, the lightning talk may be something that you might be interested in, and look at that. And thanks again for Celine and Anya for always going the extra mile and making sure that everything is accessible as possible to it. And I see we are at time, extra 5 minutes. So thank you so much to everyone who's coming on the call. We will provide you with the copy of the call, as well as my robot assistant has been taking notes, and he's been doing a very good summary. So we'll send that out as well. Thanks so much. Oh, and lightning talks are only for on-site speakers, but yes, if you're going to be on-site, you could apply for a lightning talk. So thanks to all for coming, and I will close this call. And thanks again to our real-time transcriber. Look forward to seeing some of you online or in person in the coming weeks. Bye.